let's first sort of paint a picture here. If people think back thousands of years ago, even hundreds of thousands of years ago, there were all kinds of plants and all kinds of fungus just naturally growing that produce significant hallucinatory and mind-altering effects. And so back then, it's easy to understand that that experience could be interpreted as religious. And your books...
Exactly. You're right. Let me just interrupt you, yeah. Rob, and just say real quick that you're exactly on target right there. But not only that, but Johns Hopkins University professor Roland Griffiths there has done research to show that magic mushrooms do, in fact, cause a religious experience that's indistinguishable from those written about in the ancient religious texts.
Fascinating. Well, I was going to get into the beginning of the book where you talk about Adam and Eve. I think it's a great place to start because there's a lot of art in the medieval and the ancient world that shows this, but it really is a focal point.
Well, sure. And in fact, if people go to the Coast to Coast AM website, if they go to the image section that is up there for this interview, on the second page, down towards the bottom, which is image number 11, at the very bottom of that page is the plain coral fresco from 1291 France, which depicts Adam and Eve on either side of the mushroom tree in a Christian chapel there in France. And it was hotly debated for decades whether or not this image really showed mushrooms, but we've since found many dozens of images. In fact, between Professor John Rush and myself, we probably have about 2,500 to 3,000 images total showing the mushrooms like this in Christian art.
Yeah, and in the beginning of the book, you have a lot of correspondence going back between Gordon Wasson and John Allegro. And
you're talking about my Holy Mushroom book.
Yeah, you focus on the Adam and Eve symbology and how in a lot of depictions of this, there is what seems to be a mushroom and not a tree of knowledge.
Right, exactly. And in fact, we think that And there are many levels to the mystery. There can be often as many as 7 or 10 different interpretations for each symbol. But we think that the mushroom in many respects is the tree of knowledge. Of course, there are other levels that Kabbalists would point out, and we could also point out that even the mushroom, it can be seen as the fruit in the Kabbalic tree of knowledge as well. But the tree of knowledge and the fruit of knowledge is something that plays out in nearly every ancient mythology, not just Judeo-Christian mythology. We have very similar myths in, say, for instance, the Bwiti tribe in Africa or in Japanese traditions and things like that. So we have the story of Soma in the Rig Vedas, which is this plant or this fruit that brings spiritual enlightenment, and it's long been argued. Really today, Soma is no longer argued if it was an entheogen or a psychedelic. It's rather argued which psychedelic substance that it was.
And there's a great picture here. If you go to coasttocoastam.com and go to the images for tonight's show, there's a slide about the fresco in France that has really been the center of some disagreement between mainstream archaeology and people with a different point of view.
Right, and when you get into the arguments on each side of this, and we really got in and analyzed the arguments, and what's interesting is that the art historians argued that mycologists don't read art history books, right? But then later on, they admitted that they don't read mycology books either. And on the front cover of my book, The Holy Mushroom, is an image from Montferrand du Perigord, France, that depicts Jesus as a mushroom riding on the back of St. Christopher. And we actually sent this image to a mycologist who was able to identify the specific mushroom that is depicted there. And not only was he able to identify it, but it's a mushroom that's found commonly growing right outside that chapel.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this photograph that's on the website, it looks to me clearly like a mushroom. If you had asked me to identify that even before I did the show, I probably would have said the same thing.
Sure. And, you know, they make all kinds of twists to make it look like different types of pine trees and things like that. But what they forget to admit is that a pine tree is the host for this type of mushroom.
And going through your book, more and more images just spill out, and it's astonishing how many mushrooms have been painted in conjunction with Jesus, you know, with the Garden of Eden. When does this trend focus on a particular area, or is this scattered throughout the Eastern and Western world?
Well, that's a very good question. Are you talking specifically Judeo-Christianity? That's one question. Or it would be the answer to your question on a global basis is that there are very few cultures and religions that we don't find psychoactive substances in use at some point during their religious genesis. For Judeo-Christianity, we find the history of mushrooms from deep in Siberia all the way to the British Isles. And in both of my books, I've published images from England, from the Canterbury Anglo Catalan Psalter, that very clearly depicts many, many images of mushrooms and even mushrooms inside of the mushrooms. And in the Canterbury Psalter, it really has some fascinating information in there. Adam and Eve is in that one. It shows one image of Jesus as the Lord of magical plants. He's depicted in 12 panes. That's the story of Genesis. But in the top right pane, Jesus or Lord is standing over four very distinct mushrooms. And when we think of ancient shamanic cultures around the world, these traditions, everywhere you look, these traditions are found to be based on these plant substances. Whether it's in South America, we think of ayahuasca and San Pedro cactus, or in Mexico with the psilocybe mushrooms, or aliliquai, which is morning glories, and many other substances that they use there, and the Ojibwa tribe up in the Great Lakes area that uses Amanita muscaria mushrooms. And then we go into Europe, where they use Datura and belladonna and mandrake and these things, and then down into the Middle East, where we find a history not only in this text that I published, but we can find in the Kabbalah, in the Book of Zohar, discussion of red mushrooms are found there. There's a Muslim text which is debated currently if it's talking about truffles or mushrooms. But there's a text in the Muslim Mishkat that also discusses mushrooms being used for sight, and whether or not it's spiritual or physical sight is being debated by scholars right now. So it's not really a question of if these substances are used as the foundation of many of the religions. It's really just getting in there and looking at this information with an open mind. Now, speaking of which, John Allegro, he really had his career destroyed when he went public with this information in 1970. And it took, if you can believe this, Rob, until this year, until it was either the last week of January, the first week of February 2011, when Boston University, Professor Carl Ruck there, taught the very first class ever using the sacred mushroom and the cross this year. So 41 years since the book was published.
Wow. Well, the progress happens slowly. They say a new paradigm happens one funeral at a time. And sometimes you just have to wait that long. But well, let me just ask you, because I'm just curious about this. Have you found evidence of these frescoes or these paintings of mushrooms showing specific kind of mushrooms that are not that don't grow in that area from which they were made?
Well, you know, and a lot of people, that's interesting that you would mention that. A lot of people would say, well, Amanitas are not found in the Middle East area, such as around Israel and Jordan, where we claim that a lot of these things were found. But in fact, Robert Graves reported in 1952 or 56 that he reported seeing them there. But one thing that many people forget is that, like the cedars of Lebanon, way back in the day, was this massive forest that would have been an absolute excellent host to these mushrooms, and that forest is pretty much entirely gone today. But in Hindu tradition, what's interesting is in many areas, it is suggested that the mushroom must be purchased from someone outside or stolen from someone outside. So in many of these practices, it is taboo for them to acquire these substances within their own community, and they go out and they get it from some trader or they steal it from somebody.
Well, you know what? A lot of that happens today in much the same way.